Welcome to Global Outreach Community Church, where we proclaim and demonstrate the love of God through Christ. Now, from the Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas, here is today's message.
Lessons from a woman who understood her divine assignment. The key scripture we're going to be looking through is Matthew chapter 1. It's verse number 23, and it should be up here, right here, so you can look through it. But it says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That's key, right? Because if Jesus had not come, we all would not be here right now under his saving grace. All right? Now, the next scripture, all right, and it's going to be a few, but we're going to run through it real quickly, is we're going to go to Luke chapter 1. We're going to read verse 34 and 38, and I just want to highlight a few key points on that. A few key points on the scripture, and I think I actually highlighted them here. It says, how will this be? This is after the angel has came to Mary and said, you're going to give son. And she's like, okay, so how is this going to happen? How? Wait a minute. I'm supposed to be engaged to this man, and you're telling me I'm about to be pregnant with the Son of God. How? How is that going to happen? So it's, how will this be? It's all tied into assignment. Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, so Elizabeth was part of her divine assignment. You're going to see that here in just a second. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. Part of the divine assignment. Because, see, sometimes in order for you to deliver your assignment, you got to see that somebody else has been walking in theirs. Okay? So, you're never alone when it's time to walk in your divine assignment. And for no word from God will ever fail. So that's another key one. No word from God will ever fail. Man will fail you. I'll fail you. Pastor Anderson, he's wise enough to tell you, he'll fail you. Mom and dad, they'll fail you. But God never fails. Okay? So, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. So she went from, if you notice in verse 34, it says, how will this be? To by the end of that, she says, well, I'm the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left. So she went from wondering how to saying, you know what? It doesn't matter. God, you got it. Your word to me just needs to be fulfilled. So divine assignment, when it comes to God giving you a divine assignment, he sometimes doesn't set you up with all the tools. You sometimes don't have it all together. It's not planned out, but you just have to trust God. That's part of a divine assignment. So let's go on to this in here. Hold on, Marcus. Hold on. So here's what I want to say throughout all this. We as people of God, we've got to realize that focusing on our divine assignment is never solely for our own benefit. It's never selfish. It's meant to impact generations. And so here's the thing. Global Outreach Community Church. Unless we're all walking in our divine assignment, you'll never be global, we'll never have outreach, and we'll never have a community of believers unless we're walking in our divine purpose. So we always look at Matthew, you know, the first few chapters of Matthew and the four Gospels, that's Christmas time. You know, that's really when we start focusing on them. But what I want to make sure you understand in today's lesson is that Christmas is actually the fulfillment of divine purpose. And God always challenges tradition when he goes through divine purpose, because if you look at it back from the Bible days, it always was men. Men were always, you know, in the pole position, in the dominant position. But isn't it funny? When God is giving out the ultimate divine assignment, he uses a woman. So he's always going to challenge tradition. Always going to challenge tradition. So I want you to hold on to that, all right? If Mary hadn't have done what she did, we wouldn't have had the world's first blended family. Now, I want you to think about that. First blended family, All right. We wouldn't have had it if Mary hadn't have accepted her assignment. And then we have Joseph, who had every right to actually kill Mary back in those days, because if she's pregnant, they're in a real small village. It ain't no hiding that she, and you know, Joseph, I'm sure he's getting heckled by his boys. You know, dude, and you still want to marry this girl?
Yeah.
Really? You still want to marry that? Really? And he's protecting her. But if he hadn't submitted to her assignment, he couldn't walk in his assignment. But how do you at the same time discipline your son, who's at the same time your savior? So you want to talk about being in a blended family, and you want to talk about it's hard, and sometimes I don't know if I can make it, as Joseph, disciplining my savior. They don't talk about that in the Bible, but if you can just sometimes imagine, Jesus, I'm sure as a youngster, he got with it. He lost himself. But Joseph had to walk in his assignment. If y'all notice, Joseph was asked to name Jesus, but it wasn't his child. So I want y'all to understand the caring that takes place when you have an assignment. All right, so I'm just giving you some context, right? If you follow Mary's plan of zoning in on her purpose of delivering and executing on her purpose, you have the blueprint on how to walk in your divine assignment. Now, I want y'all to understand, I'm not talking about something, you know, hokey and you know, kind of out there. Divine assignment is just that. It's you walking in your purpose, whether you are a bank vice president, if you're a teacher of a music school, if you're a coach impacting these youth, if you're a consultant, whatever you are, your divine assignment, you always know it's an assignment, because you can't do anything with it impactful without God. Uh-oh. So I want to say this as well. Some of y'all walking in your divine assignments, but you forgot about God. Uh-oh. So that means that you're really not impacting generations like you need to. So, I want to be clear. If some of you are wondering, okay, well, Marcus, am I walking in my divine assignment? I will tell you this. Unless you have God in your assignment, God will make you necessary. He makes himself necessary for you to accomplish the divine assignment. It's another thing, okay? So let's go through this. Let's go through this, all right? Let's go through this. Here are the life lessons that we can learn from Mary. We got five of them. Okay, five of them today. Here are the life lessons. Your assignment may interfere with your previous commitments and relationships. I want you to understand that. So for people like me, when I say that I'm committed to something, it's locked and loaded. I get that from my dad. I hate when I miss a commitment. I hate when I put my word out there and I don't keep true on my promise. Eric knows that. I feel bad. I feel ultimately bad. But I'm going to tell you something, y'all. Some of y'all are still committed to jobs, relationships. I'm not talking about husband and wife. I'm not trying to stir up no trouble. But you're still committed to relationships that you should have ended a long time ago, and you're missing out on your divine purpose. So your assignment may interfere with previous commitments and relationships. Your assignment will always challenge tradition. You'll most likely lose friends over it, but you're going to gain brothers and sisters whose lives are changed because you decided to take up your cause. All right. Mary was engaged. God's assignment interrupted her engagement. How many women would take the fact God telling you, yeah, this guy that is the man of your dreams, I don't want you to marry him? That's hard. Fellas, woman of your dreams, I would have argued with God if he had said that about Crystal. But if he had said it, I still would argue with him. I wouldn't have broke. I'm telling you, babe, it would have been hard. But, you know, here's my point, y'all. Here's my point. He is not interfering. He is setting you up for greatness.
Wow.
All right? So what if you think, you know, the perfect job, but God wants you to drop it and move to another job? Isn't it funny that God doesn't follow logic? He doesn't follow a linear path. Sometimes he'll have you, you know, go lateral and then actually go down and then bring you five steps forward. So you can't challenge logic with God's divine assignment. Okay? All right. Her resistance could have put the world in jeopardy. So I want you to think about this. If Mary had said, nope, I'm marrying Joseph. He's fine. He likes to work. He has good work. I think our kids are going to look nice. We wouldn't be here. So when her accepting her assignment actually saved generations. That's a blueprint. That's a blueprint point. I want y'all to understand that. Not accepting her assignment would have prevented the ultimate blueprint to lead to a blended family. If you ever want to look at the perfect blueprint on how to manage a blended family, lead a blended family, it's because Mary accepted hers, all right? I want you to understand that. Now, this is true. It's slide number five, I believe. The greatest test of your obedience is God catching you while you're in the midst of being successful. Wow. That is so, I've seen it. You're at one job, doing well, climbing the corporate ladder, and God says, you know what, I need you to start a church. But wait a minute, God, I'm making some good money over here. Yeah, but I've called you to save souls. God, wait a minute, God. You said drop out of school and start a business. Now, I'm not saying we do that for any of you. I'm saying you'll know when God has that assignment. You'll know when he has that calling on you. But I'm just telling you, you are chosen by God in the midst of being successful most of the time. All right? You were chosen by God for your assignment, even though you don't believe he can accomplish it through you. Blueprints, y'all. A lot of us want to use logic to baseline whether it's a divine assignment. And I'm just telling you, you were chosen by God for your assignment, even though you don't have the tools. Uh-oh. Well, Lord, wait a minute. You want me to be a VP of this or a branch manager for that or a station chief for this or, but God, I ain't been to school. Isn't it funny how God works? He'll promote you over other folk that have PhDs and you got the job though, right? Isn't it funny how he works it out? You were the ugly duckling, right? And you know what? God, the prince comes by, kisses you, and man, you get blessed. So my point in all this is you were chosen by God for an assignment. And here's why. God wants to make himself necessary for you to walk in your divine assignment. I'm just telling you, you can't make it in your divine assignment without him. Absent of him, you are operating at half the power, no power, little power. But if you are operating in your divine assignment, you absolutely need God. All right? Now this is something I want you to understand. Abram was 75 years old when God said, I want you to take on a huge monumental task and you're going to be the father of a nation of many. Yes. 75 years old. So I want you to understand, if you're over 50, if you're 43 like me, I still feel like I'm younger than Marcus in the back. Yeah. All right? I still feel that I can take him on the court and not tear up an Achilles. All right? My point is that my life is not over. Life is just beginning no matter the age. You never stop learning. All right? So your assignment is going to take you outside of your comfort zone. You cannot accomplish it through these means, through your intellect. You will discount and disqualify yourself if you baseline your assignment on your intellect. God is going to blow your mind. God is not logical. He's not linear. He wants you to depend on him. And he sometimes doesn't give you the path. Like I said, it's God zigzags. God is not logical. He is God. So I want you to understand that it's going to be outside your comfort zone. If you really want to impact generations, it's outside your comfort zone. So assignment number three, it's always going to impact. Slide number three is your assignment will impact your generation. That which is born of you, Mary, will save the whole world. Your assignment is meant to impact generations. Well, Marcus, what do you mean by that? I want you to understand something. And I'll use what I do. All right. I go into school sometimes and speak, and I go to the juvenile detention centers, at-risk youth. I realize that my assignment, and it's easy when you look at it that way, I'm calling on these youth, I'm speaking to them so they don't continue to follow down a path that ultimately is going to lead to prison or death, yeah. Right? But Marcus, wait a minute, but Marcus, I work in a bank. How am I impacting generations if that is my divine assignment? Well, what if you as a teller are meant to be kind to somebody who is about to end their life? Wow. See, some of y'all don't understand how it works. Your divine assignment, if you're operating in it and you're doing what God is having you do, you don't realize by just doing what God is telling you to do. Sometimes it's being operating with a smile. Sometimes it's speaking a kind word that literally transformed or saved somebody's life. You don't know how many times, love my wife, all right? She says I'm fine, right? She says I'm nice looking. But you don't know how many times that women may have flirted with me and I didn't flirt back. And these are the same women that might have ended up at this church. I want you to understand that, right? I'm not saying that's happened. I'm giving you some examples. Here's my point. Men, women, when you are operating in your divine assignment, it's going to impact generations. I'm going to take it back to the bank teller. What if you are now a division president and you approve loans? And what I've learned is that it is sometimes in who you know. It sometimes does go beyond a credit score. And you are the person that's going to approve that loan that's going to help that family get into that home. Wow. You're affecting generations, right? Because you're looking beyond the current circumstance and saying, you know what, Lord, I'm going to trust you on this one. Their credit doesn't say it, but I sense something. I'm operating in divine purpose. Let's get this loan done. Y'all know that it's all about sometimes who you know.
Yes.
But you're operating in your divine assignment. All right, your assignment will always require God's involvement. It's number four. Your assignment will always require God's involvement. God will never give you an assignment that does not require him. Here's the litmus test. Here's whether you know it's a divine assignment. If you can execute on your assignment without God's help, it's not a God assignment. Or it's not a generational assignment. If you can do it by yourself, it ain't a God assignment. It ain't big. You on your job, your career, you being in a family man, a mother, a woman in the workplace, a man in the workplace, let me just clear something up. You can have multiple divine assignments. So some of you are thinking, you can have a divine assignment on your job, a divine assignment at home, you can have a divine assignment in your family. So you can have multiple assignments. But if you don't need God to accomplish them, it ain't a God assignment. All right, there's your litmus test. If you don't need God to help you with your assignment and it's a generational assignment, then you're not in God's will. God will always give you something that makes him necessary. God will always give you something that makes him necessary. God's assignment creates dependency on him. Not dependent on man, not dependent on a job, not dependent on that money, but on him, all right? Here's point number five. You will need the right people in your life in order to complete your assignment. So that means you can't do it alone. But if you hook up with the wrong people, they'll get you off track with your divine assignment. So you will need the right people in your life in order to accomplish your assignment. One, you need God, ultimately. Now, I will tell you this. As long as you have God on your side, you're good. Because sometimes friends, they're going to punk out on you. Friends going to dip out. Friends are going to get some timing. You look at Job, his wife. She was like, curse God and die. You lost all your kids. You lost all your cattle. You lost your wealth. Guess what? Just curse God and die. So I'm going to tell you, sometimes it's the closest to you that are going to say, you know what? Cancel your divine assignment. and you have to stay strong. So my point is, with God you can accomplish anything, without him absolutely nothing worth ministering to a generation. So the angel said, you know, why Elizabeth? Why? So let's, you know, we in going back to Matthew chapter 1, let's look at how Elizabeth plays into accomplishing Mary's assignment. She's an older woman. So let's go back to what Pastor Eric just said, Pastor Anderson just said about his pastor at Willing Workers. I will tell you this. Most of the time, a good mentor that's going to help you complete assignment, they're older. You know why? Experience. You can't trade time and experience for anything. That's why Luke Walton, he ain't going to be able to coach LeBron. They the same age. LeBron dominated Luke Walton. He ain't going to be able to coach him. It ain't going to happen. All right? And I'm a Laker fan anyway, but I'm just saying, he's not. LeBron needs a Phil Jackson. They're going to bring back Phil, in my opinion. But my point in all that is, Elizabeth was an older woman. Experience. You're always going to have somebody that's older than you that can help you birth your vision, walk in your assignment. She's beyond the age of bearing children, and she conceived a miracle baby. So what is God trying to show? What is he trying to show in this particular passage of Scripture? She represents someone who is older than you in the world, experience. She also represents someone who is advanced in pregnancy, experience through what you're going through. Yeah. She is 6 months pregnant beyond Mary. Again, she's went through it already. She's went through the changes. Right. She sees what it's like. Oh, wait a minute. I know what this feels like, this morning sickness. And she's looking at her husband like, you did this. You did this to me. And you know what? When Mary's looking at God saying, you did this to me? She can talk to Elizabeth, right? She knows about the morning sickness. She knows about adjusting the apparel. And she's convinced that God can deliver on his promise. So you got to have somebody that's also walking in their divine assignment to help you walk in yours. Yes. Remember that. Don't get with people that haven't been through nothing. And have them be your mentor. Have them coaching you. That's why I said Luke ain't won no championships. Luke Walton ain't won none. They need to bring back Phil. That's what I'm saying. Get you a champion in your corner that's a millionaire if you want to be a billionaire, right? Or if they're successful, you got to be copying them. So you need an Elizabeth in your life that has gone through some things and can tell you when you are fearful that it's going to be okay. Tell you when you're depressed. Speak to your doubt that God is going to come through for you like he did for her. Different situations, same God. Different situations, same God. But Elizabeth has that experience. Now, here's the opposite of that. You walking with somebody dumb and you're depending on them for counsel. You just have dumb and dumber. You dumber for following the dummy. Get around people that are doing better than you, have more knowledge than you, that challenge you. If you are not with people that are challenging you, I'm sorry, you're missing out on your divine assignment. You're missing out. Their greatness wakes up your greatness. Now, this is the beautiful passage of Scripture I like. When Mary walked up to Elizabeth, she's pregnant, Elizabeth's pregnant, Elizabeth's baby leaped. The babies leaped. Their visions leaped. They connected. If you are not getting with somebody who gets excited about your vision, gets excited about you, you need to leave them alone.
Yes, sir. That's good, Marcus.
Stop getting with people that ain't happy for you. Stop getting with people that just tolerate you. I want to be around people that help me walk in my divine assignment. So at the same time they're correcting me, Pastor Anderson, the same time they're correcting me, you know, Crystal Holmes, she corrects me. Marcus, you're missing the mark. Marcus, you're not praying enough with the family. You're doing too much. I need you to pray a little bit more. I get those types of correction. Marcus, you need to do better. I need you to spend a little bit more time with Major. Marcus, you know what? I want to pray. I didn't used to like to pray in the morning, Marcus, but I want to pray in the morning now. I need you to pray every day. I want you to be the man of the home. And you accept that divine assignment. You accept that divine correction. That's why she's in my life. Not because she just looks pretty. And she's the mother of my great, amazing children. But she corrects me. So I want y'all to understand that, right? Even though Crystal makes me happy, she also sometimes has to break me. She has to break those tough places, that rough ground, that sometimes when you're not walking in your divine assignment, that person, they'll bring you back to your divine assignment. They'll tell you that it hurts. The labor pains, they hurt. They hurt. Women, again, the strongest physical being on this earth, because what y'all have to go through to bear children is absolutely amazing. But Elizabeth said to Mary, it's only temporary. So someone who's helping you walk through your divine assignment, they're going to let you know it's only temporary. The tough places, it's only temporary. It's only temporary. You got to get around people that are happy for you, that speak to you, that are excited for you. They'll tell you that it hurts, the labor is there, but like a woman who's pregnant, she looks at the man who got her pregnant and says, you did this to me, like I already said. I think Crystal, she never said that to me, but I think she was thinking it sometimes with Major. But they can sometimes do the same thing to God. We can do the same thing to God sometimes. You put me in this situation. You called me to change a generation. And this hurts.
It hurts.
I'm having to leave people that I grew up with. I'm having to leave a job that's paying me this amount of money. And God, you telling me to now go here? How are my bills going to get paid? God, you're causing me to... I'm secure in this abusive relationship, though. But I've called you to greater. Sometimes you can be secure in a place that hurts, and you get used to the hurt. So my point in the matter is, unless you get with somebody who can help you complete your assignment, you're going to miss out on your assignment. And your assignment is meant to impact youth, children, generations. Don't know what that is, but my point is that you, as a people of God, must operate in your assignment.
Thank you for listening. Join us each Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at The Overlook, located in Atascocita, Texas. Visit us online at www.globaloutreachcc.org. Remember, your life matters because it matters to Christ.